What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on new window treatments at Blinds.com. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered to your door fast and free. With over 25 million windows covered and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love.
Shop up to 50% off site-wide plus a free professional measure during the President's Day Mega Sale. Last chance happening right now at Blinds.com. Terms apply.
All right. Today's guest, Mr. Buddy Pylon from Ozonics. We were just having this like conversation of what I wanted to talk about today before we hit record, and you brought up the number 19, and it blows my mind that number one, Ozonics has been around for 19, and that we've known each other for 19 years.
Yeah.
And I look at your little goatee you got some gray in it now. My beard's got some gray in it. So we're going from young rascals to old bucks here fairly quickly.
Yeah, no kidding, man. I was thinking about that the other day. You know, a lot of people, to your point, that's kind of the way I feel it when it seems like yesterday that we're out there, you know, working on this, trying to prove the concept. And then and then just the other day, me and Scotty we're talking about how long it's been, and I realize this coming year, 2026, will be the start of our 19th season.
That's crazy. And when you can survive for 19 seasons in this hunting or outdoor space, you got something, man, because this, and this is my opinion, this industry will chew you up and spit you out if your products just don't work or they don't mesh.
No, I agree completely. I've said this a lot of times. The bow hunting world, archery in specific, I mean, we're a hunting product, but our primary footprint is with archery hunters. It's where we started and cut our teeth. And you're right. When you bring an invisible molecule that to market a box that produces that. And it costs, you know, it's not cheap. Right. If it didn't work, we wouldn't be in existence. We would have been gone a long time ago.
Right. That's a fact. That's a fact. And we're going to talk a lot about that today. But before we get into that, though, I want to know, how'd your season go this year?
Man, it was kind of a rough season. I started out hunting elk guy on the King Ranch in South Texas in the last week of July. The first night, I had a good bull come in, which is rare. I mean, normally they call them the gray ghost for a reason, and you hunt them at the hottest part of the year when it's 100-plus degrees, because about the only time you can catch them with a bow is in transition points to water. And I didn't stop him, and I hit him a little back, and it was just we looked for him for a while, and I didn't recover him, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Then we made our way to New Mexico, hunt Unit 15, which in my opinion is up till this year, I've always considered it to be the best elk hunting place on the face of the earth for just sheer numbers, quality of animals, and opportunity.
Right.
And they had a really bad drought this year, and we were there for second season, and I mean, we chased them for 7 days, and they just weren't bugling, weren't talking. And you know, you've elk hunted. If they're not talking, it's you do a lot of walking and a lot of scouting and a lot of moving. And it was a great hunt. I don't want anybody to think I didn't have fun, because I had a blast. I did pass on about a 280 bull on the third day, because you think, hey, that where I'm at, listen, I'm the 300 up are there. And I thought, well, I've got four more days. I'm going to pass on this guy and not try to make a move on him, and just didn't pay off. So
yeah,
I did have fun. And then
in the past, I want to talk about that a second. In the past, you have hunted, what's it, the Gila?
Yeah, that's where we were. Unit 15.
Okay. Again. Yeah. And that's a pretty sought after unit, hard to get into. Is that 100% lottery hunt right there?
Well, it's 100% draw, or you're going to have to purchase land tags. And that's the third time I've hunted it since 2017, and Scotty's hunted it a couple times. That's actually my fourth time in New Mexico. I hunted unit 34 before that, which is a great, great unit as well. I think it's got a ton of great animals. Your average animal's not probably as high a quality as unit 15, but that unit 34 is a great unit as well.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Man, it's I got to get, so funny story. I have a knee replacement that's probably going to happen in March. Hmm. And so I have a hiatus on Western hunting until I rehab my knee back to, hopefully, my doctor said, because I'm young enough, I'm 45 now, getting this early enough will allow me to be able to use my body more and have less pain and a better chance of full recovery at a young age than waiting until I'm 10 years from now or 15 years from now when I'm 60 or something like that. So I'm actually looking forward to it, so I can be more mobile throughout the landscape.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So,
well, I mean, you have to, and it's a great point. We were coming off the mountain the same day I told you I passed on the elk, and we were using our app, and we miscalculated the contour lines, right? We were going to take a different route down, and we were in wilderness. So we did a walkthrough, right? We drop us off the top mountain. We're going to walk all the way down to a pickup point. So we hunted all day. But when we started to get out of there, it got dark, and we realized that the route we picked was going to be much, much steeper than we anticipated. In fact, it was that choice. You know how you are. You're like, well, we can turn around and go back uphill and go back down around and hit the trail, or we can try to navigate this. And so we start down into the drain, and the drain is just nasty. So we climb back up and try to go down the draw, the top of the ridge line, and just follow that down. And right at dusk, and I step on a boulder. You know, it's a big boulder too. Mm-hmm. I thought looked secure, and I rolled my leg. Thought I broke my ankle. And you know, we're 5-6 miles from the pickup point, and luckily the guide had walking sticks. I was able to give my bow to him, and we managed to get out of there. But so the ankle's this big around, and I ended up, I did break my ankle, but it was a non displacement fracture.
Yeah.
I was able to tape it up. The next day I couldn't really walk on it, so we hunted over water. Mm-hmm. And then I just taped it up like high school football, and we gutted it out the other 3 days. But you're right. You got to take care of yourself in that Western hunting. When you train and you're in top physical shape, things happen.
Right. Yeah. That's the second story I heard this week about taking the wrong path home. One guy, the last one I talked to this week on the Western Rookie podcast that I host, he was, he had elk meat on his back and he was just trying to make it to camp. And he kept walking in circles around camp because his app was not, it was close to dark and his app was not orientating correctly. So he was just like, didn't know where he was walking, what direction he was walking. He's walking circles around his camp. And finally his buddy who was at camp was yelling loud enough to where he could work his way into camp. But, man, you make one false move. I've been in Colorado on some elevation and have taken the wrong path before. And my body, when I got to the top of climbing up this deadfall hellscape, I was just like, man, I don't want to be here right now.
I thought a lot about that because if I had truly, dislocated or fractured my ankle to the point that I couldn't have walked, I mean, the only potential would have been airlift. And even then we would have had to find, I don't know where we would have got to because we were truly in the wilderness. There was no roads, no paths. And we were a long way from that. So, and again, that's part of the adventure.
100%.
It's just, you gotta always be careful.
Yep, absolutely. All right, before we start talking about Ozonics here, I just want to send a huge shout out to our partner over at Reveal Trail Cameras. The best thing to do is, and this is what I suggest, obviously you hear a lot of people talk about Reveal and how good of cameras they have, but all you have to do is go to tacticam.com and check out all of the functionality of their brand new Ultra Trail camera, the updates that they've done to their app, download that, and then setting up the camera in just a matter of minutes. So it's very user-friendly, the app is user-friendly, and you can have a fully functioning cell camera in a matter of minutes. Buddy, as opposed to, I don't know if you ever remember running cell cams like when they first came out and the ordeal. Like I can remember having to go to a cell phone store, get a SIM card, then have to enter in like a 45-digit number and all this shit. And I was just like, dude, not worth it. Not worth it.
Yeah, I'll just go out there and pull cards.
Exactly. All right. Ozonics. 19 years of Ozonics, starting the 19th year of Ozonics. What has Ozonics learned about ozone in the last 18 years?
Man, that's a great question. And there's several things, but I would say that the first and most primary was more about, one, the power of ozone, right? I remember when we had the idea, or Scott had the idea, and our discussions up to and prior to being able to truly test the concept out and proof of concept, we talked about, well, look, if it'll just, give us a few seconds, or if it'll just, do X, and then getting out there and seeing how completely it could destroy odor in a downwind airstream. Now, that leads me to the second point. So first off is how powerful it is. I mean, if you look at the science online, you're going to see that it's much more powerful than chlorine and bromine. But when you see it in an open air environment, that's incredible. But that led to the biggest learning of all of this journey is the fact that in the beginning, like all scent control, we thought, I got to keep me clean. Mm-hmm. I'm the problem. I'm the source of the odor. So I need to use ozone to keep me clean. And the reality is, that it doesn't matter what you or I smell like when we're out there, right? What matters is that the downwind airstream, that we keep that clean, right? So because that's the odor that's being released by you is going in the downwind airstream, and then it's encountered by an animal, primarily what you're hunting. If I can keep that air between me and that animal and the downwind airstream clean, and it doesn't matter what I'm doing. So in the beginning, we were putting ozone on us. We were creating situations where we made sure it was showering on us because we're like, oh, I got to kill all the odor on me. And then when it clicked that, wait a second, that I'm just wasting ozone, right? All I need to do is treat my downwind airstream. At that point, that to me was the most powerful learning in this entire journey. Mm-hmm. And that goes for all scent control. Now, that doesn't say that other ways of reducing odor on your body, using unscented clothing, washing your gear, taking a shower, all those things are important because you reduce the amount of residual odor on your body when you go out there. So in theory, you're releasing less odor, but yeah. You never stop breathing. You never stop sweating. You still have to get to the stand. So you're always going to produce odor. Mm-hmm. But that's one of the most powerful learnings that for me,
yeah,
when this came around.
Yeah.
And then there's a ton of just little stuff over the years, how animals react to it. You know, there's always the question is, do animals, are they going to get habitualized to the smell of ozone? You know, and then all of a sudden you're hunting them and in the same spot over and over again. And then pretty soon they're like, oh, there's ozone. That must mean danger in human. And that simply has never manifested. And the primary reason is because ozone's a naturally occurring element. It's already in the air and they already smell it. Every time lightning strikes or water falls, waves, there's a lot of ways that ozone's created. But that has been a huge learning.
Yeah. Have you guys, through your own experiences and customer feedback using the units, the ozonics units, have found the environment from a humidity standpoint or a temperature standpoint or a wind speed standpoint that ozonics, your units tend to work the best in?
No, that's a great question, and that goes back to chemistry, right? And basic science and physics. When it's hotter, there's less compressed oxygen because what ozone uses. I mean, to create ozone, we take an oxygen molecule and crack it with high voltage electricity and create an O3 molecule, which is an O2 with a cracked O2 molecule that attaches itself creates O3, which is ozone, which is highly reactive molecule that wants to revert back to its normal state. And that means it's actively seeking out something to touch. And in this case, human odor, it oxidizes it. Now, so yes, in colder weather, the air is denser and your ozone is more concentrated. So it's easier for it to make ozone. The hotter it gets, the machine has to work harder to produce the same amount of ozone because there's not necessarily less oxygen in the air, but it's spread out more, if that makes sense. Same thing with altitude. The higher you go, the less oxygen availability because the air is thinner and the oxygen is spread out. So that is a great question. So colder temperatures lower humidity, that would be optimal situation. So like anytime I've ever hunted in Canada, it's extremely cold and there's no humidity, you know, and so it works great.
Yeah. What about wind speed?
So you've seen over the years when we first introduced the HR100, which was the box, worked great. But when we transitioned to 150-230, there are still environmental challenges out there. And one of those would be higher wind speeds because again, what we're talking about, you dump ozone into a downwind airstream, and that as the wind speeds pick up, it tends to carry that ozone away, and it reduces the resonance time with your odor. And so there you run the risk of some of your odor getting through that situation. It dilutes it. So the answer to that, prior to us creating boost and hyperboost, was you simply had to add additional units because the answer is produce more ozone. Yeah. And so over the years, you've seen us evolve our units into a situation where we created a 300, which has a larger coil. We went from a 55 millimeter coil in a 230 to a 79 millimeter coil, which produces more ozone. And then you've seen when we, back in the day, Orion X, we added just a more powerful unit. We were able to get it to push it harder. And then we added hyper boost in those units. And over the years, so we try to create a unit that's more efficient because as you push a unit harder to produce more ozone, the downside to that or downstream consequence in the past was the reduction in battery life. You see, with the HR600, we figured out how to produce more ozone and get more battery life because we simply just build a better machine.
Gotcha. So you kind of have went down the path, just like any technology. I believe it's called Moore's Law, where every 18 months, the technology doubles, and basically everything gets better every 18 months. And the ability to make it more efficient, like a more efficient technology, gets better every 18 months. And you guys have been doing that for, 18 years now. And that leads us to, what's the latest one is the HR600, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
And that's got some really cool technology. Like I said, super efficient. We were able, through our battery management system and just improvements to the PCBA and the internals, make that unit more efficient. It's still running a 79 millimeter coil, but you're producing more ozone than an HR500. You're getting longer battery life. You'll get up to 12 hours in standard mode, 10 hours in boost mode, and 8 hours in hyper boost, which is about 2 hours per mode more than what you would get on a standard HR500 or Orion battery.
Yeah, cool. So long story short, it just, the pinnacle right now is this HR600 for you guys, and it's just 18 years of making a better unit every single time.
Well, something, I wish it was as easy as saying we.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Do this every 18 months, but in the 600, it's got something that it's got the removable coil in it. I really think a lot of people don't understand the power of that, adding that into the end user's unit, right? The rest of our units, when you use them for a certain amount of time, right? You're in an open air environment, you're sucking air in, that includes dust, pollen, anything else that's out there. And that coil over time, as you push that air over that coil, becomes dirty. Mm-hmm. And it eventually begins to lose its effectiveness, becomes less efficient, produces less ozone over time as it gets dirty. And then your choice is to send it back to us and we recertify it, or you buy a new unit. With the HR600, when you feel like all of a sudden you're like, well, wait a second, it seems like these animals are smelling me or they're acting a little squirrely, you can just reach up, pull your coil out, and swap it out with another coil. So in essence, every season you want to make your unit perform at 100%, you slap in a new coil, which I think is huge.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting, lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping, Banshee flying, Space Mountain launching, galaxy rewinding, what is the whole deck with galaxy rewinding, fireworks igniting, world of other worlds. For whatever you love, infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
From athletic stuff like a full court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff like a half mile stroll. Get those steps in. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
So it's almost going back to the original, because I can remember on the original, I would take that screen out and scrub it and then put it back in.
That's remember?
Not because it wasn't a coil, it was a screen originally, I believe.
Yes. Yep. Yes.
And so we would scrub that. And now you have the ability to clean and do that. How often do you recommend then removing the coil and cleaning it?
Well, really on the coil, so these coils, you don't necessarily clean them the same way. You would blow them off with the internals of your unit with moisture-free, like computer compressed air. You buy little cans you clean your keyboards with. You can do that with your unit, but that coil is actually, it's a stainless steel, tightly wound coil that's covered with a glass covering, right? To some degree, right? The air goes over it and it still arcs. But what I recommend, again, and we always have, is go into a dark room, turn all the lights out, go into your garage, whatever, turn all the lights out, and then look in there. You're going to see that coil glowing purple. That's the production of ozone. And if you see any spots that are black that aren't purple, then that means that's a part of the coil that's contaminated and not producing ozone.
Right.
And as you see that, the answer literally is pop out that coil. And I think our retail is $79.99 on another coil. And we run a lot of nice deals on that. And
actually, it's
back up.
Right now, it's $59.99 on the website, just so you know. So
yeah, we're running the 2026 sale on those.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. This all technology, great. You know, the history of ozonics, great. But as a hunter, all I care about is not getting busted, right?
That's right.
I want to be more aggressive. And I have my own opinions about how I use ozone and how I've used ozonics over the years. But what have you learned from the animal and how they respond? Because there's a lot of responses from what I've witnessed. That's the close response, the far response, the swirling wind response. Like, there's a whole bunch of thousand different scenarios.
Uh-huh.
What have you guys heard from your clientele and what have you experienced yourself about the animal's response to smelling ozone mixed in with a scent cone, a scent profile of a human?
Yeah, so it's a great question, and really one of the most important questions, because in my mind, there's three different scenarios most of the time, maybe four. One, there's the scenario where you have the setup, it's perfect, your conditions are perfect, and you've created a world where that animal's downwind and has no clue, right? That you have effectively created a world where there's enough ozone mixing with you, the human odor being released by you in a downwind airstream, that it's being destroyed completely and nothing is reaching the animal. And they act normal, completely normal. And I mean normal in the sense like normal, like they're not downwind, right? Okay. Then if you understand ozone, again, it's interacting with your human odor, and a human odor is a biological molecule, right? It's bacteria. And as ozone interacts with it, it begins to unravel. So there's a certain code that says, hey, this is human. And that's what a deer smells, reacts to. Mm-hmm. But the second ozone, even one molecule reacts with it, as it unravels, it's no longer human. It changes what it is. And that's where you're going to see a downwind animal, especially white-tailed. White-tailed are very curious animals anyway, but you'll see them, they'll hit the downwind airstream and their head will pop up. And they'll start checking the air. They'll start sometimes even walking towards you because they're curious. They're like, what is that? I don't recognize that odor. I don't smell it, but they don't get alarmed.
Yeah.
That's a second kind of reaction. And that's typically because they're smelling something. And some people go, oh, they're smelling the ozone. And I don't believe that. I believe again that what you've done is you've taken your odor and changed its molecular structure as it begins to degrade. And they're getting some of that. Mm-hmm. Then you'll see the reaction where some of your odor has slipped through your ozone river, for lack of a better way to put it, downstream, and they get a little bit of the human. So you'll see where the head comes up quick, maybe even the tail comes up, maybe they spin 180 degrees, like looking back to where they were going to go, and then they stop. Because the amount of human odor they got has been reduced to the point that they think you're much further away than you really are, right? All animals have a safe distance. And they're like, okay, I just smelled human, but they must be a long way away. I don't know where they are, because they don't have a visual most of the time. They just got a little bit of you. And then there's the final one, where enough of you slipped through that they turn inside out. They come unglued, which happens on occasion.
Yep.
The analogy I like to give people is, if you've ever been standing in a stream and the stream's flowing and there's rocks, there's logs, there's contours underneath the water that create eddies and swirls. The air is doing the same thing as it passes over the terrain and around trees and over bluffs and dealing with thermals, right? So if you take green dye and that's your odor and you dump it into that stream, it doesn't just turn the whole stream green, right? You see it go down the path as it hits certain places, it splits left, right, and it does its thing. Now, if I take purple dye and that's ozone and I begin to dump it into the same stream with that green odor, you'll see places where the purple completely overtakes the green and it's gone. Mm-hmm. You'll see places where they mix and change color. That's what I was talking about, mm-hmm. where the odor has been changed. And then you'll see places where they never touch. And yeah. some of the green gets through. And then sometimes, in some cases, maybe you forgot to turn your unit and the wind shifted on you, a big bunch of that green dye gets through and it gets down there to the animal. And they go, oh, that's a human and it's too close and I'm going.
Yeah.
That would be the four reactions that I've experienced.
This next one's a high level question. What about thermals?
So thermals, I mean, that's understanding them. That's why we have the wind tracker, right? Mm-hmm. Puff bottles are great for knowing what the wind's doing 3 feet from you. But to your point, when you take into account temperature changes, thermals, hunting on the edge of a deep draw or a top of a ridge line, the wind is always doing something different. And the best way to tell you, we use these synthetic fibers, you drop them and you're going to watch what they do. But always remember, ozone's a molecule. It's going to go where the wind's going. If there's thermals and you're dumping it into the location and the air is rising, that's where the ozone's going to go. And that's where your odor's going to go. So the game is the same. The game is identical. You just need to understand what the wind is doing.
Right. All right. Back to like a strategy standpoint.
Uh-huh.
How would you suggest using an ozonics for someone who has one, but who has yet to use it? And let's say whether they're mobile or whether they're hunting on a food plot, how does this interact with their decision-making process of what stand should I hunt?
So, I mean, first off, I would say that the first thing I would like everybody to understand is that you should start using ozone before you leave camp, right? That unit, treat your clothing, reduce the amount of odor. Like I said, you can use ozone to do that. We create products specifically for that, and they all are adapted to be used with any one of our units. So you put your clothes in, our dry wash bag or locker, you reduce that odor. You go out there, put your ozone unit on your back. Like when we elk hunt, or anytime I go into the stand or out of the stand, my unit's on my back and it's turned on and it's running, mm-hmm. because no matter what I'm doing, I'm releasing odor again. And sometimes I can ruin a hunt on my way to the stand and not even know I just ruined my hunt. And so from the time you leave camp or while you're at camp all the way till you get to your stand, you should be running your ozone unit. I mean, again, I don't run it in your truck, but when you get out and you get dressed, slap that unit on, turn it on, get to your stand. As soon as you get in your stand. Now, from a strategy standpoint, that means a lot of things. If I got the wind in my favor and I know the perfect way to get in my stand, I'm always going to take that way. But mm-hmm. if I don't have the perfect wind and I'm running out of time, I after 19 years, I trust the power of the ozone. I get it. And I will take chances that maybe a lot of people wouldn't in normal circumstances. I'll hunt. I'll get closer to bedding areas. I'll push deer because I know if I'm cautious and I'm utilizing my unit correctly, then it's going to give me an advantage that I otherwise would never have.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you, here's the thing I like about running in ozonics while you're walking into a stand. And that for me is I have the limited access to the properties. Meaning, for example, I'll use this 80 acres that I hunt. It's 80 acres, but I can only access the farm. It's surrounded by other properties that don't want me on it. I can only access it through the southeast portion, like a gate crossing. That's it.
Yeah.
16 feet. That's all I can cross through. And I have it on my back, and I know that no matter, like, for me, I'm a stand position guy. So I got to get to the stand. I really don't care what my wind's doing when I'm walking to the stand, but when I get to the stand, it's important that I have the right wind. Anyway, but you got to get to the stand first. And right. So for me, I am running that thing, walking in, and I know deer are going to smell me. And I just, it's for me, it's a safety net. I have it on. I run it. They're smelling me, maybe. They're smelling the Ozonics, whatever the case is, but it's not just me. Right. And whether it, you know, reduces the odor or it throws a mix of me and something else in there, that's what I'm doing. Right. And so, but then once I get to the tree, dude, it's over. Like for then it's pointed downwind. And the only time that I've been, that I got busted this year is on a, like exactly what you said, with a wind shift. And I was not paying attention to the wind shift. Mm-hmm. My Ozonics was going a different direction, or maybe I was in the sun and then the clouds went, thermals shifted and the wind stopped. You know, sometimes at night the wind will stop and my thermals were pulling downhill and were no longer affected by the predominant wind. And so I should have faced my ozone in a different direction at that point. Yep. So, I mean, that access route deal plays a huge role in, for me anyway, because of the limited access that I have.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and that, and also in just the idea that if you have small pieces of property and you hunt them too much, you educate your deer, right? Yeah. But you can get away with doing that if they don't smell you.
Right.
They don't see you and they don't smell you. And one of the ways to do that, again, is hunting with Ozonics. I reduce my odor footprint and that actual interaction with the animal, whether I want it or not. I want one interaction, right? I want my target animal, whatever that may be, right? If it's a doe, it doesn't matter. I want that interaction. And sometimes it takes me more than one time to get there, you know? And in the past, if you go to the same spot over and over again, you educate those deer and they simply stop coming.
Yes. Yep, absolutely. The other thing I like about this whole thing is, man, and I'll be honest, and this is just my take on it, I have been so much more aggressive in my stand placements when I am after, usually every year I pick maybe 3 bucks that I'm going after every single time. And in order to get close to where I believe these deer come and go, I have to let other deer walk by me, especially doe groups. Like my goal every hunt is to get within shooting range of a doe group. And then hopefully a buck is mixed in with them in that late October, early November timeframe. And so there are times on occasion, if, you know, maybe they decide, hey, I'm going to go this direction or take this trail this time and not walk right in front of me, I got to be prepared for things to get downwind to me. Uh-huh. And one thing that I love about the Ozonics when used properly is they definitely smell it. Whatever it is, they're smelling something, they're used to it, but they do not blow. And right. Maybe they walk the other direction, or maybe they finish walking to their destination, but they do not blow and they do not alert other deer. And for me, and when I see that reaction, when I've personally seen that reaction over and over throughout the years, that allows me to get ultra aggressive at that point and know that, man, if they're not blowing, they're not, the deer that I don't see are more likely to come into me.
That's great.
And dude, I've had some really good encounters throughout the year. I'll just say that.
Well, you said a couple things in there too, and one of them primary is when used properly, like any tool, you can hand me the best bow in the world, the fastest bow, the most accurate bow, but if I shoot it upside down, it doesn't work very good.
That's right.
And Ozonics is no different. It's a tool in your arsenal when used properly. So that just means simply learning how to apply it to different situations, paying attention to the wind, like you said, understanding what happens when the temperature changes and thermals and all of those small things. When you begin to add that into your toolkit, then it does give you the ability to do things you never could before. And getting ultra aggressive on smart animals is one of them. Adam Hayes told me years ago, he said, look, if you want to kill big bucks consistently, you got to give them the wind. Mm-hmm. Right. You got to give them the wind and learn and try to hunt right on the edge of that. And Ozonics gives you the ability to give them the wind with a much greater cushion, right? With more time. And so that's a neat little
conversation. Absolutely. And that's the truth, man. You got to find a way to where they feel comfortable in scenarios. I mean, that's cutting the wind 101 with or without an Ozonics, right? Mm-hmm. Basically, having there's a danger point. Mm-hmm. If they crossed from this trail, they're, you know, you're hunting a terrain feature that dictates deer movement, and you want your wind to just break right before they get there. And a lot of times how I set up my hunts is I'll give the deer the wind where they will get downwind to me, but by the time they get to me, they're in a shooting lane.
Right.
And they take two more steps. Maybe they bust me or smell the Ozonics or whatever, but if they're a shooter caliber deer, or I want to shoot a doe, they're dead before they hit that point. Uh-huh. So that's how I have been using them throughout the course of this, you know, 19 years of using Ozonics, or 18 years of using Ozonics. And the next question I have for you is, and I know you can't speak for the other people specifically, but maybe for you and maybe for the brand as a whole, what are you guys proud of?
Man, and I'm proud that we completely changed an industry. We introduced a technology that there was no such thing as electronic scent control prior to Ozonics. So I'm super proud that, one, Scott's idea that we've been able to give life to that. And two, more than that, I feel like every time I get these success pictures, I'm super proud of the fact that we've been able to help people accomplish some of their dreams, goals, whatever you want to call it, aspirations, whether it's killing their first deer or it's killing their biggest deer, and whether it's killing a 240-inch Saskatchewan giant or is killing a 110-inch Texas first buck, it doesn't matter. And I'm super proud of that, because it's just year after year the pictures rolling and the great stories of how it's changed people's hunts. I'm also really proud of just the fact that we keep trying to push that. We say something to ourselves all the time is that we need to be thinking about how to obsolete our own technology. Mm-hmm. How do we make the next unit so good the rest of them are obsolete, so to speak?
Yeah.
And we continue to strive to do it, because we're a small company. I mean, we're a handful of people. All of us hunt, and we love this industry, love hunting first. And it's just been cool to be a part of that.
Yeah. All right. I want to talk a little bit about not necessarily the naysayers, but the people who might be critical before a purchase. Uh-huh. And the first thing that I always hear is, man, that's a pretty big investment.
Right.
What does Ozonics say about the people who say, man, that's a pretty big investment? Like, I don't know.
You know, it that's a value proposition, right? If you look at all the things you do all the time, how much is your time worth, right? How much money have you invested in that new rig when you start looking at your bow, your sights, your dozen arrows, your pickup truck, your deer lease, your deer hunt, whatever it may be? You end up and you start looking at it and you've got thousands and thousands of dollars invested, right? But none of those things matter if you can't have the opportunity to use them, right? If you ruin the opportunity before you ever get the chance to utilize those tools to take your deer, what do you do? Ozonics is one of those things that doesn't only maximize opportunity, it creates opportunity that wouldn't have existed before. Because if that animal is going to come in downwind and you don't have ozonics, it's game over. Yeah. All of that money spent for no reason. And so then it becomes, what is it worth to me to be successful? And every item we buy or purchase most of the time in the hunting realm is to do one thing, to give me an edge. Yeah. I'm going to get a faster bow, a better arrow, a better broadhead, whatever it is. It's all to give me an edge when an opportunity presents itself. But very few of those products will create an opportunity that wouldn't have otherwise existed. And I believe we do both. If the opportunity is there, we give you that edge. But we also create situations that would not have existed otherwise without it. Yeah. What is that worth to you?
Right. Right. And for some people, that, you know, different people, different, have that different value proposition, like what you were talking about too. So, what else do we need to know about ozonics that is new or exciting or that's coming up or anything that's going to generate some attention towards the brand?
So we're always working on the next thing, right? Mm-hmm. We are. And I know we've got some huge ideas in the pipeline. And some of them I can't really share yet because they're still in what I would call prototype phases.
Yeah.
But be on the lookout for what I would call the biggest evolution in our technology in 19 years.
Wow. I have an idea that popped into my head about like some kind of Marvel, like you would see on a Marvel movie. I don't know why that popped into my head, but that'd be cool. Right. The superhero, like instead of the Invisible Man, it's the no scent man. He just like,
that's right.
He doesn't smell at all. So if you could come up with something like that, that'd be pretty badass.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So outside of that, buddy, man, congratulations on 19 years. Congratulations on you and your team, you know, getting this far. I like 19 years is no joke, man. That means something. Right. And so thanks as always for taking time out of your day to hop on the show and BS about ozone and ozonics and things like that. And I got the website up right here. So I'll just say, go to ozonicshunting.com and just browse the website and check out. I mean, you guys are running a sale right now, I believe. So might be a time to take a look at them.
Well, we're also going to be at Harrisburg next month and at the Great American Outdoor Show. So come see us. We'd love to hear your stories. Talk to us. And above all, man, interact with us on Instagram, Facebook, send your pictures to us. We'll get you up on the website. We love to see fellow hunters be successful, especially when they're using our products, knowing that we had some hand in helping that hunt end like they wanted it to.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Buddy, as always, I appreciate your time.
Hey, it was an honor, Dan. And it's awesome to realize we have known each other for so long
and been friends
so long.
Close your eyes, exhale, feel your body relax, and let go of whatever you're carrying today.
Well, I'm letting go of the worry that I wouldn't get my new contacts in time for this class. I got them delivered free from 1-800-CONTACTS. Oh my gosh, they're so fast.
And breathe.
Oh, sorry. I almost couldn't breathe when I saw the discount they gave me on my first order. Oh, sorry. Namaste.
Visit 1-800-CONTACTS.com today to save on your first order.
1-800-CONTACTS.
My dad taught me a lot, including how easy it is to forget to cancel things. So I downloaded Experian, my BFF, big financial friend. Experian could help me cancel my unused subscriptions and lower my bills, saving me hundreds a year. Get started with the Experian app today. Your big financial friend's here to help you save smarter. Results will vary. Not all bills or subscriptions eligible. Savings not guaranteed. $631 a year. Average savings with 1+ negotiations and 1+ cancellations. Paid membership with connected payment account required. See Experian.com for details. Experian.
Chronic migraine is 15 or more headache days a month, each lasting 4 hours or more.
Botox, onabotulinum toxin A, prevents headaches in adults with chronic migraine before they start. It's not for those with 14 or fewer headache days a month. It prevents, on average, 8 to 9 headache days a month versus 6 to 7 for placebo.
Prescription Botox is injected by your doctor. Effects of Botox may spread hours to weeks after injection, causing serious symptoms. Alert your doctor right away as difficulty swallowing, speaking, breathing, eye problems, or muscle weakness can be signs of a life-threatening condition. Patients with these conditions before injection are at highest risk. Side effects may include allergic reactions, neck and injection site pain, fatigue, and headache. Allergic reactions can include rash, welts, asthma symptoms, and dizziness. Don't receive Botox if there's a skin infection. Tell your doctor your medical history, muscle or nerve conditions, including ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, myasthenia gravis or Lambert-Eaton syndrome, and medications, including botulinum toxins, as these may increase the risk of serious side effects.
Why wait? Ask your doctor, visit BotoxChronicMigraine.com or call 1-800-44-BOTOX to learn more.
All right. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.